yesterday there was some big news that kind of got swept under the rug. It was just a quick kind of email announcement. Hey, Mark Shapiro's sticking around for 5 more years, but that's about it. And to chat about that amongst some other things around baseball, here's one of our favorites, senior MLB columnist for The Athletic, Jason Stark. How you doing, Jason?
Brian, Jenny, doing well. Happy 2021 to you guys.
Yes, yours likewise. Well. Likewise. So yesterday was a weird experience. I mean, you've been covering baseball for a long time. And Mark Shapiro has been here for 5 years. And he had a tough time when he got here. He took over for Beeston, Anthopoulos. They were on the verge of going to the ALCS back-to-back years. Took some heat. Cleveland guy rolling in. But people have really come around on him, Jason. And I think on the whole philosophy and what they're building here. Yet yesterday he gets a 5-year extension and nowhere to be found. No media, no big announcement, nothing. Really strange. We found it strange anyway. Can you get a read on that? What do you make of this news that Mark Shapiro will be sticking around for 5 more years in Toronto?
Well, you know, Brian, first of all, I wouldn't say this was a surprise. We actually had Mark as a guest on Starkville, the podcast that I host with Doug Glanville, I would say a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like this was in the works even then. Why they wouldn't want to make a bigger deal of it, I don't know. But I think that in general, teams treat front office contract announcements a lot different than they do player contract announcements. I think that's
for sure.
A trend in the industry.
Oh, no, I don't dispute that. And I'm not, I know he was on our show a few months ago admitting to the same thing, saying, hey, it's coming, it's work, we're working on it. It's just generally a guy who's like the architect of the team. Like Masai Ujiri, we're waiting for him to sign. When Masai signs, he's doing the rounds, they're going to celebrate it. And it just didn't seem like that was really the case here. I support the extension. I think, again, they're doing some good work. But my theory yesterday was that it's because they haven't done anything during the offseason, and they've talked a big game about being active during the offseason. And I feel like Mark may have felt uncomfortable coming out talking about his own deal when Jays fans are like, that's cool, but can Springer be locked up any day now? Can you fire up a Real Muto signing? What's your understanding on why it's been such a stalled process for the Blue Jays?
Well, have you looked around?
Yeah.
You know, I try to keep this log of off-season activity and off-season signings and where the top free agents have gone. And like you and I have signed as many big contracts as that top of the free agent class.
Right.
You know, nobody is going anywhere, and nobody's signing anybody. It's the weirdest free agent winter ever. It's certainly the slowest. You know, I used to always do every January an all unemployed team. I was laughing, thinking this week I should really just do an all employed team because mm-hmm. we're all still out there. There are 200 unsigned players, and it's just this. Is this big war of wills between clubs facing a lot of uncertainty and a bunch of economic fallout from last year, and agents and players who are just determined that teams aren't the only ones that can be patient here, and it's getting tiresome.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We're chatting with Jason Stark, senior MLB columnist for The Athletic, and the timeline of this offseason, there was, I guess, a period where it was undetermined. You know, there were some leaks coming out from baseball that maybe they wouldn't start spring training on time, and maybe it would have to be a 100-game season, give or take, and push it back into May or June. And now the commissioner has come out and said defiantly, gear up, spring training, 162 games, go time. Are you buying that, Jason, or what?
I know that's what they've said. I'm still not 100% convinced that it'll be pitchers and catchers in Dunedin on February 14th or 15th or whatever that day is. There's still just so much uncertainty. I check in with these people all the time, and I think right now they're saying what they have to say and doing what they have to do, and they're telling teams and players, you should prepare like we're going to start on time. But is that going to be realistic? Is it even going to be possible? A lot of that, or at least some of that, is out of their hands. It really depends on the COVID situation, on state regulations, on what all kinds of health authorities are saying. there's so many moving parts. You know, I talked to one team that said, if we go to Florida for spring training, I'm not 100% sure that the health officials in our city would let us back in town. Or if we did, we'd all have to quarantine for 2 weeks before we started to play again. So this has to be a negotiation, and it has to be a really flexible situation. But just because they're saying things are going to start on time, I wouldn't take that to the bank.
I read your article today on the DH idea everyone has been waiting for, or have they? You know, walk us through it. I mean, just explain kind of what the thought process is and if, you know, you will see it come to fruition here at in the major league level.
Well, Jamie, when we got a problem, I'm happy to help them solve it. Nobody will listen to me, but I'm always happy to help. And you know, this is actually an idea that has been kicked around for 2-3 years behind the scenes, that, you know, inside baseball, people brainstorm all the time about stuff. And this is a variation on the DH idea, where as we head toward the possibility of a universal DH, this would have a DH on all 30 teams with one big exception. When your starting pitcher leaves the game, your DH would also have to leave the game unless you decided to put that guy in the field. And, you know, there's definitely some fun aspects to it. Like, think of what the goals are. Would be an attempt to restore the luster of starting pitchers by creating incentives for teams to get more innings out of their starters, leave their starters in the game longer. There'd be a lot of strategy that comes with this, because every pitching change in the late innings would require all kinds of thought and would give all of us plenty to second guess, always in favor of that. And it's an attempt to see if the DH and National League rules, maybe there's a way they can actually coexist with a vehicle like this. So it's kind of a fun idea. I've talked about it a lot. I've written about it a little. I decided to just delve into it knee deep, asked a manager, a starting pitcher, a DH, and a front office guy what they thought. And it was fun. It really was.
Yeah, it's an incredibly creative way of trying to, again, I love the idea of this being an emphasis, trying to keep starting pitchers in the game longer. I think it should be a priority. It was a debacle what happened with Snell in the World Series. I mean, an absolute debacle. And that's a more isolated situation. That's the World Series Game 6. Very different situation than Game 42, you know, in May or whatever. But to play, I guess, devil's advocate, the idea that might deplete the value of a DH, I'm sure, is something you heard about a lot when writing about this and thinking about this, Jason. Like, I look at Toronto, where this is going. I think Vladdy's going to be a DH. I just do. And I don't want him coming out of the game in the seventh inning or eighth inning. I mean, I guess you could put him at first based on your idea, but that could be a debacle too. How do you handle that?
Well, Ryan, there are two big issues here. One is that if we literally employed this rule, the DH would almost never bat in the late innings, right? Would never come up in the ninth inning with the game on the line, because the starting pitcher is never in there in the ninth anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. The other thing is, a front office guy from an American League team made this point to me. All right, I'm losing in the third inning. My starter doesn't have it. I got to take him out. Now I'm playing with a worse lineup than the other team for the rest of the game, and I'm trying to come from behind. It's like the other team is almost on the power play.
Yeah, that's, you know, right.
And this is stuff that we would have to think through. I think there are ways around it, but it would be a big deal. If you had David Ortiz in your team and he never hit in the ninth inning, like, what? Where did the legend of David Ortiz come from anyway?
Yep.
Right, all those big hits at the end of the game. So we'd have to think that part through. But I also think this would encourage teams to have more multi-talented athlete types as their DH, instead of the one-dimensional guy who you don't want to run the bases or play the field. And if we gravitated away from that in the name of restoring the prominence of starting pitchers. How would that be a bad thing exactly?
Well, there's so many kind of big picture topics around baseball right now that are really germane to the actual philosophy of the game and the way the game is played now compared to where it was before. Part of it is, of course, keeping starters in the game longer. A lot of that is analytically driven, as you know, Jason. You get to the third time through the order, and it's like, I got to get them out. Got to get them out. This discussion about the shift, is that helpful or is it hurtful? The strikeout rate, the launch angles and velocity and all that kind of stuff. There's so much information in the game, and as a result, it has changed the game. And, like, managers are never going to change it. Like, I love Epstein said on his way out of Chicago, we got to change things. Well, he's not employed anymore. I talked to Anthopoulos. We had Alex on, like, a day after that. I said, what do you think about what Theo just said? He's like, well, I'm not doing that. I got to win ball games, man. That's great for Theo to talk about big picture stuff. I'm here to win and try to get a World Series in Atlanta. So, basically, if the commissioner and the rules don't change, it's never going to change. We could talk about it forever. It's just not, the analytics is not going to change. It's science. They are going to tell you this is the way the game should be played. So if we want it to be played a different way, as crazy as it might sound and as goofy as some of the rule changes may be, I think that's your only option.
Yeah, this is something that I've talked about for a long time. The ideas that make for great baseball strategy these days don't necessarily make for great entertainment strategy. Mm-hmm. And this is an entertainment product. It's an entertainment business. Baseball should be thinking of ways to make the game more entertaining, period. And, you know, here's what I don't understand. Like the NBA, the NFL, the NHL to some extent, they mess with their rules all the time in an attempt to make their games more watchable. And I've never heard one person say about a football rule change, I'm never watching football again because this isn't a game that Red Grange played.
Right.
Know, right.
Right.
In baseball, people don't want you to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think the product suffers because we're allowing data to dictate everything. Look, I'm as big a fan of information as anybody you'll ever meet, but I'm also a fan of the game being fun to watch.
Yep.
And I think that there are two things that baseball needs to emphasize right now. The game needs better rhythm, not necessarily make it shorter in terms of time, but better rhythm. And the second thing would be you need more great athletes running around the bases.
Yep.
Or cranking up those web gems, those highlight reel plays. The ball's not in play enough to make that happen, to make either of those things happen. So we've got to think long and hard about ways to prioritize that stuff. And look, baseball just hired Theo as a consultant in charge of all this stuff. Can't think of a better choice because he talks about this, thinks about it all the time.
He is Jason Stark, senior MLB columnist for The Athletic. Read his new piece on his ideas with the designated hitter and where it could go with baseball. And it's always great to catch up with you, Jason. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Brian, great talking to you guys. Thanks so much.
You got it. There he is, Jason Stark from The Athletic. Yeah, those are, you know, every sport's got them, right, Noodles?
Yeah.
Every sport's got an issue. Like, we just started the show cross-checking superstars, fights in the game. That's hockey
right.
Story. And in baseball, it's even more focused. There's different ways to maybe attack it or maybe different reasons why it's gotten this far. But it's very simple what Jason Stark just said. There's not enough action. There's not enough balls in play. There's not enough guys trying to go from first to third, plays at the plate. It just doesn't happen enough.